This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Talk Live, 603-283-6160. If you want to weigh in on how the government has plans to make the internet suck again, 603-283-6160. This legislation, proponents say, recast broadband service as a necessity more akin to water and electricity, to which everyone should have access. Government estimates say about 14 million Americans live in areas without high-speed internet as of 2019, but officials acknowledge that data is incomplete, and private estimates put the figure at 40 million or higher. So roughly one in 10 Americans, 1 in 9 Americans without broadband access, evidently. I don't know how true that is, and I imagine it excludes wireless cellular coverage. Because I've seen some of these coverage maps, and unless you're out in the desert of New Mexico,
right,
you probably have decent 3G or 4G or even 5G coverage. It's a more robust government role and a key part of the economy, said Ramamurthy, deputy director of the White House National Economic Council. It's an opportunity, another opportunity, to show the government really can work for the people. For the broadband industry, which has flourished for decades without strict governmental oversight, the initiative set off alarm bells. While telecom and cable giants ranging from AT&T to Comcast stand to benefit in the near term from a big infusion of cash if the bill becomes law, industry officials worry about the precedent this sets for greater government intrusion in their business. Some aspects of the legislation have drawn industry complaints, at least privately, including provisions that empower federal and state officials to direct how new subsidies are spent, regulate pricing disclosures, and authorize new rules preventing, quote, digital discrimination. The details on implementation and inevitable unintended consequences are going to matter, said the CEO of U.S. Telecom, a trade association for broadband providers such as AT&T and Verizon. Some in Washington continue to be chronic in that America's broadband providers today, right now, deliver world-class connectivity, affordable and valuable service plans, reliability, and network capacity that have been a technological and economic boon. Many providers, however...
So is the industry group guy saying that? Okay. So is the industry group opposing this, or are they in favor of it?
It sounds like they're opposing it. They know that they would benefit in the short term from, you know, this sudden, what was it, $65 billion that they would be given to provide internet access to these companies. But they also, it comes with these things that concern them, like regulated pricing and new rules to prevent, quote, digital discrimination, whatever that's supposed to mean.
Meaning turning somebody off if they can't pay, right? Because if they're saying...
Is that what they mean?
Well, it could be. If they're saying that internet is now on the level of power and water, they're saying this is a human right sort of utility. This is something that you need to have in order to survive, basically, which is ridiculous. But that's what they're saying. And there have been people in Congress and D.C. that have been pushing this narrative for a long time.
Certainly.
This isn't the first time that the federal government has gotten involved in build-outs of internet. This has been going on for some amount of time.
Yeah, so that's how we had the whole joke about the internet being, you know, a series of tubes. It was one of their attempts to do something like this.
For that? Yeah. Okay, I believe it. Because I presume that the new, what's called New Hampshire Fast Roads, have you ever heard of this?
I have not.
So I'll look it up and double check this, but I'm pretty sure that was federally funded, or at least partially federally funded. And what it was the money that was spent by the state of New Hampshire to build out a fiber network around New Hampshire. Because New Hampshire is one of those rural states. I mean, you know, we live in a quote-unquote city here in Keene that's really just a small town of 23,000 people in the middle of
the woods.
Yeah.
And the rest of New Hampshire, like, New Hampshire's like 96%+ woods, basically. So, basically, we live in the woods here. And
you have to actually think before walking on one of these hiking trails that there is a possibility you will encounter a bear.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, I mean, we are in the woods. And that was something I hadn't thought about until I was actually walking my dog out there. I was like, you know what? I could actually run into a bear. And I don't remember what you're supposed to do if you run into a bear. I should probably look into that.
At least Ian said they're slow. But I'm slow, too.
So, I only have to outrun the dog. I know that sounds horrible.
Anyway, this fast roads thing's been going on for some number of years where the government funded a lot of the fiber rollout here. Now, I don't know if it's the same fiber that other fiber people are using. I don't think it is. I think there's different, like, internet trunks or whatever that are connected, you know, okay, to some fiber rollout. So I think, for instance, Consolidated Communications, I believe they have their own network that it's separate from Fast Roads. But our guy on Friday night, I believe, Chris Wade, I believe his internet connection currently at his house is on the Fast Roads network. So, I mean, it's there. You might as well use it. And it's apparently not terrible, but government's been involved in this for some time. This sounds like it's taking it to the next level and is going to have a lot more strings attached to it, perhaps, this time.
The fact that they would name something that's just internet fast roads sounds like they do want to make it, like, this is critical infrastructure.
Yes.
I've been racking my brain the whole time that we've been talking about this, trying to think about what they mean regarding digital discrimination, because I don't think it's people not being able to pay their bills. I seem to recall a story that we covered maybe a year ago of an internet company that was trying to restrict access to Facebook or some other website for their customers. I don't recall the specifics, though, and I've been trying to, and I think that's what they're getting at.
This says digital discrimination is a form of discrimination whereby users are automatically treated unfairly, unethically, or just differently based on their personal data by a machine learning system. That might have not told us anything.
Okay, so presumably if they were watching a lot of Netflix or whatever, their provider could get upset, or if they were torrenting using a lot of data. Who knows?
Examples include low-income neighborhoods targeted with high-interest loans, women being undervalued by 21% in online marketing. I don't know what that's supposed to mean.
How?
Don't they market to us most? I don't know.
That's a bizarre example of digital discrimination. The first one, at least.
In online ads suggestive of arrest records appearing more often with searches of black-sounding names than white-sounding names. So those are some examples.
Interesting. Some in Washington continue... I covered that already. Sparsely populated areas are difficult for any communications provider to serve due to the cost of building and maintaining the network infrastructure, said Lumen Technologies Incorporated. This is an issue I had in Mississippi. I was in a small town, and I wanted Comcast to specially build me a cable so that I could use Comcast high-speed internet. Mm-hmm. And they wanted like $12,000
to roll the cable out.
Yeah, just to do that. And I was like, okay, yeah, I see your point. It's not worth it for one customer. I mean, even if I was going to pay that $12,000, it's not worth it to me at that point.
That's the thing. It's like, if you want to live out in the middle of nowhere, it's got its benefits in that your neighbors are far away. But it's also got its downsides in that you probably don't have internet access. And you shouldn't have a guarantee of internet access that everyone else is forced to pay for because you wanted to live away from people.
Excellent point.
And ultimately, while they're going to argue that this benefits the poor, there's also a lot of wealthy people that live far away from people that purposely build their closed, gated communities well outside of town, out in the boonies where the land's cheap and they can develop it however they want to, which is, again, not, you know, that's great. Live where you want. But just understand, you shouldn't be able to get your internet on the backs of all of the people in the cities and the other taxpayers that are in small towns or whatever that are having to pay for this.
Well, they're painting it as, you know, a benefit to the poor. But realistically, it's going to basically just be a benefit for these high-speed internet companies that are going to make a lot of money for
this. But even they are you know, not necessarily jumping on the bandwagon here.
Because they're upset about the
strings attached.
Thank you. Yes.
Right.
The White House and congressional Democrats hope to follow up the infrastructure bill with a separate $3.5 trillion spending plan that would create new government roles in electricity production and transmission, child care, elder care, pre-K, and community college. passed the budget blueprint early Wednesday, the first step in that arduous process. $3.5 trillion
yeah.
spending plan. Inflation, all-time highs.
It's coming.
It's Free Talk Live.
Would you like to breathe in freedom wherever you go? Now you can with the Amulet Shield. Based on space-age technology, the Amulet Shield emits positive ions and surrounds you with a forest-fresh scent wherever you go. Roaming big box stores, riding stuffy elevators, or waiting in long lines, the Amulet Shield hangs around your neck and runs 24 hours when fully charged. Breathe in freedom with the Amulet Shield. Find the Amulet Shield at ProjectPillowTalk.com or call 877-289-7439. No, the Amulet Shield will not kill, cure, or heal anything except fear of not being able to breathe in freedom. So call or click today, ProjectPillowTalk.com or 877-289-7439. That's ProjectPillowTalk.com or 877-289-7439. Breathe in freedom with the Amulet Shield. Currently established federal laws that govern dietary supplements do not allow us to diagnose or treat any medical condition.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live. You can join us, 603-283-6160, if you want to weigh in on how the government plans to just, in general, make everything worse. 603-283-6160. With you tonight, it's Aria.
It's Ian.
And Bonnie.
And we were just talking during the break about Fast Roads, and it's all of the money that it got at its...
Over $100 million in 7 years.
And it ultimately failed and was bought out by a private company, which was then acquired by a different private company.
And those, by the way, were federal grants, the $110 million. So there's already a ton of federal money being thrown at this build-out of rural area fiber connections, which this company, well, quote-unquote, I'm going to say company with quotes around it because it's... It's part of the what they call the Monadnock Economic Development Group, and that is...
It sounds like a government thing.
It's basically a front corporation to allow the government to do things that governments can't do. So they file, you know, create their own corporation, basically, that, hey, we're not running this, but we're funding it, and it's not us. You know, right. We can do these things. We can build things now that we couldn't build as the city or whatever, because it's not the government. And so they owned this Fast Roads, as I understand it, which was one of its sub-corporations, and that they helped to create. That received
And they screwed it up.
Yeah, that received $110 million in federal grants.
So they're basically trying to make a middle road, I think is the terminology they used.
Fiber middle mile.
And that was, as I understand it, just like the mainline fiber pipe across New Hampshire, essentially.
Yeah.
And then off of that, there are going to be numerous branches that were connected to various towns and stuff like that.
Correct. And,
they only completed two of these things that were being called the last miles, which, as I understand it, were the actual final connections to the towns.
Yeah, so the Orford, New Hampshire, I'd never heard of it before talking about it just now. It's north of Lebanon, so it's probably about 2 hours north of Keene.
What's the population?
1,237 in 2010. So... Basically, it was a run of fiber from the southwestern of New Hampshire up sort of the western side of the state. And it was supposed to connect all these little towns, but it only ended up connecting on the last mile, meaning the build-out of the actual connections into the communities, only Ringe and Orford. So the beginning and the end points of this thing were the only two places where it got built out. And
isn't
so
Ringe here? Oh,
it
so
is. It's
one
in this
end
area.
And the other end.
Correct.
But not in the middle.
Yeah, and so nothing else did, and after 7 years, roughly, or after several years, they sold, the government corporation sold Fast Roads to a private company, and now they're building it up.
Yes, because now it is available here in Keene, presumably. I mean, well,
yes,
I mean,
they've been available. That's been available here for a few years.
So the private company is doing, not surprisingly, better than the government company was doing.
As I understand it, yeah. So it's a total, you know, government boondoggle, and who knows who got rich off of that $110 million.
The bulk of this roughly $1 trillion infrastructure measure the Senate passed Tuesday goes to industries that have long been heavily subsidized and regulated, such as roads, bridges, public transit, and Amtrak. And that's how they're billing it. You know, it's an infrastructure package. Mm. Don't you want to build the roads? Don't you want better roads?
I don't know. I think the government has proven that they suck at building roads.
Yes, they are constantly redoing them here in Keene. It's annoying. There are two seasons here, snow season and road construction season. I don't understand why they did what they just did on Route 101, which I have to drive regularly. They took up the top layer of pavement, from what I can tell, making the whole thing bumpy. I was thinking, okay, they're going to repave it,
sure.
But they didn't.
No?
They just painted white lines down it. They just painted new lines. So now you've got this bumpy, almost
really?
Undrivable stretch of highway, a major part of the highway.
How weird.
Well, I haven't been going that way to work. I've been going the branch roadway through Roxbury, and they're also digging it up there, but it looks like there was a lot of water damage with the month of rain.
They must be planning on doing something. They're just not doing it right away.
Why would they paint it?
It's taking them longer than they expect. I mean, these companies know how to milk the government for the maximum amount of money, right? So, like,
they didn't install a new light there on Route 101.
Whoops. Oh, this project is costing more than we thought it was going to. We've got delays. The product cost has gone up in the middle of the project. We're sorry, but we just can't finish the job. You're going to have to give us twice as much.
Yeah, and, you know, that's what they do.
In San Antonio, they were always working on the highways, like, every single day.
Sure.
And then during COVID, they just stopped. Like, oh, it's COVID, we have to stop, so it's
well,
so bad.
But, okay, that's their excuse, but yeah. Also there's people who quit. So a bunch of the workers, when I was in jail being held for these ridiculous Crypto 6 charges for a couple of months, I kept hearing ads on the radio for road workers, like the private companies that the government hires to do these road jobs. I mean, they were advertising heavy. It's like, hey, if you've got experience doing road work, it was a full 60-second ad just, you know, dedicated to hiring people. We'll start you at $25 an hour. We're desperate. Basically, come on out. You know, give us a call. We're waiting by the phones.
I don't understand it, man. From what I can tell, every industry is hiring.
Yeah.
Where the hell are all the workers?
Well, okay, so we had this conversation before, and then I heard something. Like, our question was, okay, well, if unemployment is so low, and in New Hampshire, it's much lower than the national average. I believe it's over 5% unemployment nationally, but New Hampshire is below 3%.
Yeah.
Like 2.5
like 2.4 or something
yeah.
like that.
And so our question was, how can there be such low unemployment?
Yeah, because this wasn't the case 2 years ago.
And so many jobs are available. How is that possible? Well, unemployment doesn't measure everybody, right? It measures only people that are, like, looking for work or something. So if you're technically not looking, you're not unemployed, even if you don't have a job.
Right.
See what I'm saying? So there's that factor. And then another thing was, well, okay, they're going to end the they're ending the unemployment benefits, right? So people are just taking the unemployment. They're enjoying all these freebies.
Right.
But they're cutting that off, supposedly.
Aren't they just cutting off, like, the $300 extra? So they're
That's
still
not
getting
clear.
It.
There may be some amount available. I think that may be true. And also, don't forget, there's a moratorium on evicting people. So there are literally people out there who not only are they not working, they also don't have to pay the rent.
Oh, but they will soon.
Well, they've extended the moratorium.
Have they?
Yeah, at the last minute. Actually,
the Supreme Court
just
decided that was unconstitutional.
I believe that was earlier in the year they decided it was unconstitutional.
Yeah, right? I thought it was just a month or two ago.
Yeah.
And I thought a lot of the moratoriums were expiring because they only got like 1 year of delay. And that 1 year for a lot of these people is now expiring. Or at least that's how I understood it. So you have these people who are unemployed, just sitting at home, getting unemployment benefits, not paying rent, not paying their house note, and not having to pay electricity because there was also a moratorium on electrical disconnects and presumably water bills and stuff like that. So, okay, that makes sense. They're not working because they simply don't have to. All they have to do is buy food.
And with whatever small amount of unemployment that they may still be getting, then that should be enough to buy food. So these people are just... And according to this, the last extension ended July 31st, but due to intense pressure from congressional Democrats, the CDC issued yet another extension, because somehow the CDC can just go ahead and put a moratorium on people who are being total losers and, you know, can't be evicted from their house, extended through October 3rd now.
I swear I thought I saw the U.S. Supreme Court had said that was unconstitutional. But I don't recall. But what's interesting is a lot of these people are soldiers, which is a violation of one's Third Amendment rights. They're being...
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Has your body ever gotten low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
One key thing about the infrastructure bill that just passed the Senate is there are no gas tax increases.
President Biden speaking at the White House regarding his Build Back Better agenda. The president also saying in the future he wants to see the correlation between a barrel of oil falling with gas prices lowering, which is not happening now. McAllen, Texas Mayor Major Javier Villalobos is sounding the alarm and calling on the Biden administration with help, as illegal immigrants make up a large portion of those who have tested positive for COVID-19. The mayor telling CBS News,
"Oh, I think there's an issue because now they're going through out, positive or non-positive. They get picked up and they're going out, and we have no authority to stop it."
And you're listening to USA Radio News. Senator Rand Paul is under suspension by YouTube after posting a video of what it deems to be controversial comments about COVID-19 and masks. The Kentucky Republican posting a video from last week where he claimed cloth masks don't work. The CDC has consistently said cloth and over-the-counter masks offer some protection from COVID-19. The governor of Oregon is lowering the requirements to graduate high school in her state.
Oregon's Democrat governor secretly signed off on a law that allows high school students to graduate without proving they can read, write, or do simple math. Oregon's Senate Bill 744 was signed by the governor in June after the Oregon House passed the bill 38-18. The Oregon Senate then approved the measure in a 16-13 vote. Charles Boyle, an aide to the Democrat governor, said suspending the proficiency requirements will benefit Oregon's students of color. From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
This is USA Radio News.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: "It's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel." Amazon customer: "Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it." Amazon customer: "Excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Yeah. It's Free Talk Live. You're welcome to join us and share your opinions, talk about whatever we've been discussing, or talk about whatever you're passionate about. 603-283-6160 is the number for you to do that. And I want to tell you about Bitcoin.com. It is the best place to go to learn about cryptocurrency. Just click Getting Started at the top and watch a couple of minutes of videos, and you'll know the basics of this world-changing technology. And it is world-changing, and the world is just going to continue becoming more and more Bitcoin-centric. The ship hasn't sailed. There's still plenty of time to get involved in it. So check that out, Bitcoin.com. But if you are already into cryptocurrency, you want to stay up to date on what's happening, news.bitcoin.com is the place to go. It has all the news that's relevant to you, all on a sleek and easy-to-use website. That's news.bitcoin.com. And on the subject of Bitcoin, AMC, the movie production company, movie theater chain,
they don't
streaming
movies.
Service. They don't?
Yeah, theater chain.
Okay.
Yeah.
They are looking at accepting Bitcoin, evidently, and they plan to be accepting it by 2022, which actually is just a few months away.
Yeah, yeah. According to Cointelegraph.com, they had a conference call Monday regarding their quarter two results, and the AMC chairperson, CEO Adam Aron, revealed the cinema chain intends to have the infrastructure ready to accept Bitcoin payments for online movie tickets by the end of 2021. Now,
wow.
What's not said here is what that is going to be. What infrastructure are they using? Who are they going to...
Oh, I'm sure it's BitPay. I mean, that's what all of the big companies go to.
Well, Well, if it is BitPay, then that's good news because that means that they'll be accepting something besides Bitcoin, likely, because no one is going to want to use Bitcoin unless they go with the Lightning Network, which is still not ready for prime time, from what I understand of the Lightning Network. So
I can't imagine AMC trying to implement the Lightning Network.
Yeah, imagine all the customer service issues, and it would be bad.
It seems to have worked out for Newegg. I mean, they accept BitPay, and as a result of that, they accept close to 25 different cryptocurrencies, I think.
Has BitPay added that many?
There are a lot. I mean, I don't know. Wow. I haven't looked at it in, obviously, several months, but the last I looked, when I first built my gaming PC, about a year ago, there were all sorts of options available.
That's Newegg fantastic. Is computer... like a computer online thing?
Correct. Yeah, they're probably the top internet dealer of computer parts.
They have branched out a lot. Now they're doing automotive parts and some other types of things. So, I mean, they're doing well, and they do accept cryptocurrencies as payments via BitPay.
They should use AnyPay.
So BitPay is currently using or accepting, as far as what you can accept through BitPay, Bitcoin BTC, Bitcoin Cash, Ethereum, Wrapped Bitcoin, which is, don't want to explain that, but Dogecoin. Good for them. Litecoin, and then 5 USD-pegged stable coins, including PAX, DAI, BUSD, USDC, and GUSD.
Okay, so it wasn't as many as I thought. That's closer to 12 than 20.
Yeah, still, though, it's options. So
it is.
And we're presuming we don't know exactly what AMC is going to do, but odds are good they're not going to roll their own cryptocurrency acceptance platform, so they're going to sign on with somebody, and it's likely going to be BitPay.
Good for BitPay. As far as I can tell, they're doing good work.
Yeah, they are. While details regarding AMC's plan to accept Bitcoin are scant, the CEO reported strong demand for buying movie tickets with crypto from their customers.
That's a surprising revelation.
Yeah, quarter two results showed significant improvements, by the way, compared to last year. Because over the last year, we've talked about, or last 18 months, I guess now at this point, we've talked a lot about the old media business and how the quote-unquote pandemic and the forced government response to it forced a lot of companies basically into complete bankruptcy or closure and or dramatically changing total business models, like going to online distribution for movies instead of movie theaters.
Yeah, AMC is a movie theater chain, and movie theaters throughout most of 2020 were closed.
Yeah, and a lot of them never came back.
Right.
The IMAX theater here in New Hampshire, that company went out of business. Now, from what I have heard, rumors that there might be a company buying the property and they may, you know, try to make it live again. But that company itself closed all of their theaters and they're gone. So, and they're not the only...
Well, they had no revenue, yeah. So what choice did they have?
Quarter two results showing significant improvements compared to last year, reporting $444 million in revenue compared to quarter two of 2020, which was only 18.9. So
significant improvements.
Yeah, there's been a bit of a comeback. Now, their net losses also declined, so they're still losing money. $561 million is what they declined to $349 million. Along with adopting BTC payments, AMC also announced plans to open more than a dozen locations, which seems optimistic, in the United States, Europe.
Well, if they have Bitcoin, it's more feasible for them than it is for a lot of other movie theater chains.
Yeah, that's why I say, you know, maybe it's too little too late in that, you know, I'm not saying it's too late to get Bitcoin. I suspect we're still in the beginning phases of the price going up for Bitcoin, but we can't predict the future.
I don't think we're even at, 5% adoption at this point.
Not even.
So, I mean... If 5% generate enough demand to take it to $62,000 or whatever it peaked at, then I can only imagine what 20, 30% of the population demanding and using Bitcoin is really going to drive the price up to, but it's probably $500,000 per Bitcoin or something like that.
So yeah, the real revelation of this story is that customers are demanding this.
Yeah, that is surprising.
Responding.
Enough customers have asked AMC to use Bitcoin that... AMC was like, okay, yeah, we'll do it. Yeah. And by the end of this year.
Yeah, very exciting. There's not really much else to say here. They talk about the AMC stock price, which, of course, got a boost earlier this year during the Wall Street Bets thing with GameStop. AMC was sort of the also buy during the GameStop
thing. Oh, that's right, it was.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten about that.
And it's up 1,200% year to date. So a year ago, it was $2.60. It is now $34.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it's good news for all of the people out there who are interested in cryptocurrency, and it's a reminder that, you know, you should be out there emailing companies that you use, asking them if they're willing to accept cryptocurrency, because it clearly has a result. I've done this in the past with some online games that I played before, and none of them expressed any interest in it, even, you know, when Bitcoin was at the height of $62,000. However, if enough people did that, they would change their minds, because that's what it takes to get cryptocurrency adopted, is people going in and asking business owners, emailing businesses, saying, hey, would you be interested in taking cryptocurrency? If enough people do that,
yeah,
then they ultimately will. And then,
and I think you're going to have more success now than ever before, because obviously crypto is now a serious competitor to, you know, on the financial field. Whereas 5 years ago, anyone could blow it off. Like, what's this thing? It's just an internet fad. But now it's clearly not a fad. It's clearly got staying power. It's now over $40,000. 46, I think, today is the price of a Bitcoin. So it's tremendously successful. And if a 101-year-old company, which is AMC, founded in 1920.
Wow.
If they can
almost
see,
as old as the Federal Reserve, the fiat currency, yeah, that is currently being destroyed by the U.S. government and the Federal Reserve.
If this old company can figure this out, this dinosaur can figure out, okay, let's do this, then you can do it too. You know, like, get with the program.
I look forward to seeing the world where, you know, you can subscribe to someone on YouTube or whatever by using cryptocurrency, or where you can buy a game from Microsoft Xbox using cryptocurrency.
Oh, I commented on my favorite YouTuber the other day. I was like, you should put up a QR code for donations. I'd donate to you.
Mm-hmm.
I just love him.
Well, then there's also Odyssey, which does allow you to actually tip your favorite creators.
That's true. Directly
cool.
In library credits, I assume.
And you can also use dollars.
Oh, okay.
They've got a new dollar tipping system, which goes through, which provider is that? I forget. Anyway,
I think it's Stripe.
The big ones. Yeah, Stripe. Yep.
I don't know how I knew that, but didn't know that off the top of my head that they were accepting USD tips, but it's strange how brains work. But anyway, this is good news.
Yeah, good luck to AMC. I mean, I hope this keeps them alive.
It seems
like
it would, man.
I like movie theaters. I don't go to them often.
Yeah.
But, you know, I like the fact that they exist still.
Well, it's got to be better for them than accepting USD, because Bitcoin is steadily going up and USD is steadily going down.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Bitcoin, you can't say it's steadily going up because it goes up and down constantly. But over time, it's tending towards going up.
Yes.
You know the dollar is going to go down in value. You don't know what's going to happen to Bitcoin, but at least it can go up. Whether it will or not, we can't predict the future, but we can predict with all certainty that the dollar will go down in value.
And that's the issue with fiat currencies. Governments just print them and create them and destroy them. We need competition.
Stop calling it fiat.
Yes, apparently someone is very upset about that. That's coming up.
It's about time for the 15th anniversary of Sunny Bay. And it may be our 15-year anniversary, but it's your chance at winning from weekly drawings in our contest for better health. We owe our success to you, GCN listeners. So as our thanks, you may win our grand prize, an Amazon gift card, plus Sunny Bay's complete set of superior pain relief products and services, with a total prize value up to $4,152. How do you enter the Sunny Bay 15th anniversary contest for better health? Easy. Just click sunny-bay.com. No purchase necessary. Remember, there will be weekly drawings. Yes, it's our 15th anniversary, and it's your chance to win in Sunny Bay's 15th anniversary contest for better health. For complete contest rules and prize values, visit sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Right now, millions of Americans have an uneasy feeling about the future. That's why they're quietly stockpiling as much emergency food as they can. What about you? Do you have enough emergency food to get you through a prolonged crisis? If not, take a moment to shop My Patriot Supply. We're America's leader in emergency preparedness and survival. Since 2008, we've served several million American families like yours. In fact, our mission is your survival. So head on over to MyPatriotSupply.com and grab a few of our tasty emergency food kits. Our food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage and is shipped quickly and discreetly to your door. One day, you might be eating breakfast, lunch, or dinner while everyone else is standing in a food line. Avoid that. It's too late to act once the other shoe drops. It's time to be self-reliant and prepared. And now you can. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Poundy Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live. You can join us, 603-283-6160. If you want to do that, that's 603-283-6160. And you know, this guy's upset that we call it fiat currency when we talk about the USD. But you know, it just occurred to me, would he prefer we call it flat currency? Because that's what a lot of people would do, including news reporters who talk about things like, you know, the Crypto Six. That they're so clueless on the subject that they don't even know that the word is fiat.
They're misreading it.
Yeah, I mean, they just see it and they think it's flat. Do you really want to take your news from someone who doesn't have the basic understanding of what they're talking about to even know what a fiat currency is?
Yeah, your average reporter probably has no idea.
Those dollars, they're flat.
Well, they are flat, that's true.
Their value isn't flat, though.
And, you know, I sympathize with them to an extent because when I first saw the word fiat, I also thought it was flat.
Mm.
Because it
at a glance,
yeah,
it could look that way.
But it didn't take me long to realize that, no, it's fiat, and fiat means by decree, and that's what makes it a fiat currency, is that the government has decreed it to be the currency of the land. So it is, by definition, a fiat currency. But this person, whoever it is upset that we're presumably besmirching the great name of the USD by having the audacity to call it a fiat currency?
Yeah, I've been holding on to this one for a few weeks now because it's pretty entertaining. The actual headline here is from Financial Times, which, thanks to archive.today for helping us get past some of these pesky paywalls out there. Financial Times, and the author is Brendan Greeley. Headline, "Let's all please stop calling dollars fiat money."
Please.
But it is fiat money.
Currencies are not memes that only have value because the government say they do. That's the subheader.
But it does only have value because the government says it does.
Well, let's let him make his argument here, okay?
I mean, okay, I will let him make his argument, but so far, I think he's an idiot.
Sometimes it's possible to simplify something too much. More than a decade ago, Ben Bernanke, then chair of the Federal Reserve's Board of Governors, sat down for an interview with 60 Minutes, the television show that important Americans call when they have important things to say. Bernanke.
That's just a weird thing to say.
Does anyone watch 60 Minutes anymore?
Now, is this tongue-in-cheek?
Like an 80-year-old grandmother, maybe?
Bernanke was explaining how the Fed had responded to the financial crisis. When he got to the asset purchase programs, the host asked whether the Fed was spending taxpayers' money. Quote, it's not taxpayer money, tax money, he said. The banks have accounts with the Fed, much in the same way that you have an account in a commercial bank. So to lend to a bank, we simply use the computer to mark up the size of the account that they have at the Fed, unquote.
So they just generate the money out of thin air, like we were talking about earlier. They just say, okay, well, you have $1 million now instead of $600,000.
And the host asked him whether the Fed had been printing money, and Bernanke said, well, effectively.
Yes, but not much of it is actually, I think like 3% of the actual money supply is actually physically printed.
And that's what he meant when he said effectively, is we're incrementing numbers in a computer. The numbers
which
being
which makes it easier than ever for them to just inflate the ever-loving hell out of the currency, because now they don't even have to print it. They just have to add a few zeros to a spreadsheet.
Yeah, printing it would be too much work.
And cost more money.
Yeah, you know, as Venezuela learned and had to start, you know, outsourcing the printing of their money to a different nation.
Well, remember last we saw, I think it was the cost of minting a penny is like 3 cents or something like that. So it's a loser to actually mint the pennies. Now, technically, I think that's the Treasury that does that, the U.S. Mint. That's different from the Federal Reserve, but they're all somehow tied in. I don't know how that
It's all very confusing.
I have a wheat penny in my car. Is it worth 3 cents, maybe?
I doubt it.
What is a wheat penny?
It's from 1944, and it has a picture of wheat on the back instead of, like, I think it's the capital that it usually has on the back.
Does it actually have copper? I guess so. If it's 1944, it's actually copper.
I have no idea. I don't
know. At any rate, it's probably worth more than a 2020 penny.
I always give them to my dad, but he lives in another state.
It still ain't worth bending over for.
No.
Whatever it is.
It's a penny.
It actually fell in between my
teeth. You know, I'm convinced that whoever invented the penny and whoever continues keeping them in circulation is a misanthrope who just absolutely hates human beings.
Tortures people.
Yeah, because they're not worth it to bend over and pick up. But their profile is so small that they're impossible to just sweep up off the floor, meaning it forces you
to pick it up
and throw it into the trash where it belongs. So it is like the it's not worth bending over and picking up, but it's designed to force you to bend over and pick it up.
And it's not worth printing anymore, but they keep doing it.
Of course they do.
So the story here again continues. It's an opinion piece, the Financial Times. He wasn't wrong, of course. He's Ben Bernanke. You might disagree with his policy choices, but he certainly knows how money is created. That quote from 60 Minutes, though, still comes up often, more than a decade later. When Bernanke simplified what the Fed does, he confirmed for a lot of people the deeply mistaken idea that the Fed simply magics up dollars out of nothing and then, by fiat, says, there, that's money.
Okay, but
isn't that exactly what they do?
That's what Ben Bernanke literally just said they do.
There's a problem with the word fiat. We use it to describe our current monetary system. Then we teach undergraduates that the word comes from the Italian for decree or edict. We tell them that fiat money is a social convention. It has value because the government says it does and everyone agrees. Cameron Winklevoss, co-founder of the crypto exchange Gemini, says that, quote, all money is a meme, unquote. That's what he was taught at Harvard while he was doing the other thing he's famous for, referencing Facebook. This is unfortunately not at all how money works, says the author here. The first description I could find of money as fiat comes from John Stuart Mill, the English philosopher in Principles of Political Economy. Mill proposed a hypothetical. Suppose a government began paying salaries in a paper money that couldn't be converted on demand into silver or gold, because back then, paper money was convertible into silver or gold. So this guy was promoting an idea that was a new idea. The value of that money, he wrote, quote, would depend on the fiat of the authority, unquote. Well, yeah, if the U.S. Department of Treasury were to print up carnival tickets, spend them into the economy and call them dollars, the value of those dollars would depend on the fiat of Congress. But that's not what the Treasury does, and that's not what a dollar is. He says if you...
No, the value isn't determined by fiat. The value is determined by how much of it is in circulation and how much demand there is for it. Congress doesn't set the value of the USD. The market does, whether Congress likes it or not.
It's also not, the value isn't set by the design on the dollar. If they started printing out carnival tickets, it would be exactly the same.
Correct. If you live in the U.S., the dollars you use most often in your daily life are bank dollars. Your bank creates them, to come back around to the discussion we had earlier, when it loans you money, then deposits them in your account. Bank dollars don't have value just because your bank says they do. Your bank has regulators poking into its books to make sure those loans are sound assets with decent returns. And your bank pays premiums to the FDIC.
Did this person miss the 2007 recession that was caused by banks having a bunch of loans that were bad loans?
Yeah. Well, now everything's okay.
Oh, that's right. You can trust
your bank now.
Obama fixed everything. I forgot.
And your bank pays premiums to the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation to guarantee your deposits in case it fails anyway. If bank dollars are just a social convention, a meme, then your mortgage is just a meme, too. Well.
Yep.
It kind of is, yeah.
Especially when you don't have to pay it.
That's true, and it's all based on the dollar, so, you know.
Banks have been sued over this in the past. The First Bank of Montgomery versus Jerome Daly. Of course, they closed these loopholes now, but he argued before the court that, you know, they didn't actually put up any consideration for the property. They just invented the money on the books.
And so, therefore, he shouldn't.
And so, yes, so they couldn't foreclose on him, and the judge actually agreed and sided with him. But,
really?
Yes. This was back in, like, the 30s, I think.
Oh, wow.
And, all of those loopholes have since been closed, obviously.
Yeah, I think what you guys pointed out here is the most important point, is that this guy thinks that fiat means the government determines the value. And that's what he's arguing against, and he's not wrong about that point, but that's not really what he's not grasping that the market actually decides.
Yeah, the government just says, this is your money, and then the market decides how much that money is worth.
Right. But the Venezuelan government can shout from the rooftops about how much they think their money is worth. In fact, they have an official exchange rate for the Venezuelan Bolivar. It's something like 87,000 to 1. But the real exchange rate on the black market is over 4 million Venezuelan Bolivar to one U.S. dollar.
So what, Venezuela is a good example of a nation attempting by fiat to decide its currency's value.
Correct.
But in general, when we say fiat currency, we don't mean that the U.S. government says this is how much this one is worth.
And didn't we talk about that like last week, the Venezuelan Bolivar?
I wasn't on for that show, but I believe you did. Yeah. And how they just knocked 3 zeros off of it?
Oh, no. They knocked 5 zeros off in 2018, and they're going to knock 6 off coming up in October.
So what you're saying is if the Americans just, or people holding the dollar, just started realizing how worthless it is and stopped valuing it, it wouldn't have value?
Well, the federal government doesn't set the price of the dollar on the market like the Venezuelan government does, so it's harder to, you know, say that there's a different rate for the dollar. We can talk more about it coming up.
Coming up on that, it's Free Talk Live.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.